I never planned to be a confession booth. I was just Madam Proxy, elite escort, part-time therapist, full-time puppeteer. By day, I slipped into marble-walled offices as Dr. Elise Corbin, listening to privileged couples spill their secrets. By night, I wove those same secrets into my private gallery. Photographs of shattered marriages, whispered betrayals, and gaslit souls. No one suspected that every soft word, every probing question, was a blade. And the deeper I dug, the more I craved the chaos I created, until obsession became my masterpiece. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1: Mirrors and Masks. I first found the thrill in reflections. It was always about watching others see themselves, with me guiding the angle, the lighting, the moment they'd slipped their guard. I was 26, playing dress-up in a sleek penthouse high above Manhattan's grid, and already I'd learned that secrets gleam brighter under spotlights. The couple, Evelyn and Jordan Sinclair, awaited me in their minimalist living room. Floor-to-ceiling windows showed a mosaic of city lights. The sight should have felt grand, but to me it was just backdrop. I was already in character. Dr. Elise Corbin, marriage therapist and emotional architect. I wore soft gray wool, pearl studs, and the exact tilt of attentive concern. Under my blouse, a custom harness held my recorder and camera lens, hidden behind a delicate lace applique. "Thank you for inviting me in," I murmured, voice hushed, as I clicked the pen. Jordan's jaw clenched. Evelyn's foot tapped. The air between them hummed with words unsaid. "Perfect. Our goal," I began, "is to rebuild trust, brick by fragile brick. But before we lay foundation, I need to understand where the walls are crumbling." Jordan exhaled like a sighing furnace. "She doesn't trust me anymore," he said, eyes trained on his coffee table where his hands fidgeted. Evelyn's laugh was brittle. "I don't see why. I've barely spent time with him these last months." She glanced at me, searching for a lifeline. I tilted my head, soft sympathy in my eyes. "Tell me about the last time you felt close." My pen hovered. It was an invitation and a trap. They leaned inward simultaneously. Hungry for connection, naive to the truth. I was threading a needle through their private tapestry. Each confession would become part of my canvas, each tear a stroke in my secret project. As Evelyn described a birthday forgotten and Jordan confessed a late-night call from a woman at the office, I felt that familiar jolt. They were giving me everything, and I would take it all, fold their truths into art, leave them shattered in the frame. Tonight, Dr. Elise Corbin would play healer. But tomorrow, Madam Proxy would own their souls. Chapter 2: The Art of Entrapment. I remembered why I loved the game. The ease of stepping into someone else's life and reshaping it with a whispered suggestion. After the Sinclair session, I slipped into a sleek black Mercedes and reviewed the footage. Their unguarded glances, Evelyn's trembling lip, Jordan's desperate reach for absolution, it was all there in vivid detail. My heart quickened. This was power. Back at my loft, a former warehouse softened by plush rugs and abstract sculptures, I transferred the recordings to my private server. Screens glowed with clips I would later weave into the gallery installation, fragments of trust. Each couple's collapse would be a mirror, visitors peering in to see how thin their own facades might be. A knock at the door snapped me back. My assistant, Mara, stood framed in the dim hallway light. She was my only volunteer witness, my alibi when I needed one. "Session went well?" she asked, voice casual. "Brilliant," I said, masking the thrill in my chest. "They're hooked." I told Evelyn to keep a journal of her doubts. "Jordan's already buying roses." Mara raised an eyebrow. "You're prescribing roses?" She stepped inside, swinging her bag off her shoulder. "Be careful. You're moving fast." I offered her a glass of wine. Speed is an advantage. I leaned against the countertop, feeling the familiar tension of secrecy. "Trust me, they'll be grateful for my guidance. Right up to the moment I push them over." She sipped and winced. "You're enjoying this." Her gaze didn't judge, it admired. She knew me best. "When do we start the next step?" I smiled, cold and precise. "Tonight. Evelyn thinks we'll schedule a follow-up. Instead, I'm hosting a therapy dinner. I've invited her and Jordan for drinks under the guise of social progress. They'll talk more freely in my space." Mara tapped her phone. "I've arranged the catering. And the cameras. Hidden in the walls. I traced my finger along the plaster. They'll never know until it's too late. She nodded. I'll set the table. Her loyalty was part devotion, part curiosity. She was as enthralled by the project as I was. Once the door clicked closed, I returned to my screens. I queued up snippets of Jordan's faltering confidence, Evelyn's longing for security, stitched together in a haunting loop. My pulse slowed as I watched their vulnerabilities dance. Obsession was a hungry companion. It whispered that I could never get enough. I shut down the feeds and stood in the center of the loft, light and shadow mingling around me. Soon, this space would be their stage. And I, the director of their downfall, would capture every anguished moment. Because true art required sacrifice. And they were my willing offerings. Chapter 3. Therapy Dinner. The evening arrived in a swirl of carefully curated ambience. Soft jazz from a vintage record player, low amber light draped over my loft's industrial bones, and the scent of truffle risotto weaving through the air. Evelyn and Jordan Sinclair stepped in, coats shrugged off, eyes bright with polite anticipation. They believed they were entering a neutral zone, a safe extension of Dr. Corbin's office. They had no idea they were stepping into my labyrinth. I greeted them with a practiced warmth, guiding them to seats around the oak table. Mara hovered in the background, refilling glasses and ensuring every detail fell into place. The Sinclairs exchanged tentative smiles. They clung to civility like a lifeline. "Thank you for hosting," Evelyn said, voice laced with relief. "This is lovely. Think of it as part of your progress," I replied, pouring Jordan more wine. "Couples who learn to connect outside an office often find breakthroughs." Jordan raised his glass. "To breakthroughs," I mirrored the toast, catching Evelyn's smile. "To breakthroughs," I repeated, though my definition was far darker. Dinner unfolded in layers. First, trivial pleasantries, work stress, mutual friends, then guided prompts. "Evelyn, what's one thing Jordan used to do that you miss?" "Jordan, when did you first feel disconnected?" Eyes darted, voices softened, walls started to tremble. As they opened up, I watched their defenses dissolve. Evelyn's laughter cracked when she described a forgotten anniversary. Jordan's hand jerked when he mentioned a late-night project. Every confession fed the undercurrent of tension I'd orchestrated. About midway through the meal, I paused the conversation with a shift in tone. "I have an exercise," I said, leaning forward. "I want you to turn to each other and finish this sentence. I wish you would." They obeyed. Evelyn's voice trembled. "I wish you would stop making me feel invisible." Jordan's retort was quieter but sharper. "I wish you would trust me again." Silence sank like a stone. I let it sit, savoring the weight of their words. Then I offered comfort, guiding them to gently repeat their wishes and validate each other's pain. It was textbook therapy, kind validating, soothing. But beneath that veneer, I was chiseling away their unity. Later, over dessert, I suggested a trust exercise, blindfolds and guided touch. Panic flickered in Evelyn's eyes, but she complied, trusting me completely. Jordan hesitated, then slipped the silk cloth over his partner's eyes. I narrated soft instructions. "Describe what you feel. Remember to be honest." They followed. Evelyn's hand brushed Jordan's sleeve. Jordan's fingers trembled as they traced Evelyn's collarbone. I watched their inner world spill out in sensory detail. Every brush a revelation, every breath a confession. When the exercise ended, the pair sat reeling, closer yet unraveling. They glanced at each other, searching for comfort. Instead, they found me, watching with cool intensity. "Excellent work," I praised, standing. "You've taken a brave step." They nodded, drained but hopeful. I sensed the tipping point. I'd deepened their bond just enough to make the next fall spectacular. As they left that night, I escorted them to the door, promising a follow-up session. I closed the door behind them and exhaled, the echo of their footsteps fading. In the flicker of the hallway light, I glimpsed their shadows merging, and then splintering. Back inside, I replayed the dinner's highlights, each moment richer than the last. This was artistry in motion. Emotion laid bare, trust weaponized, and obsession fueled by their willingness to believe in me. Tomorrow, they'd wake to memories of connection. By week's end, they'd remember nothing but the fractures I'd sown. And I would collect every fragment for my gallery. Another masterpiece born of manipulation and desire. Chapter 4, Fractured Reveries. I watched them wake the next morning, their eyes flickering open like sleepy moths. Evelyn sat up first, disoriented, as if the dinner had been a dream she couldn't quite place. Jordan's gaze followed hers, hesitant, searching. They exchanged a glance heavy with questions, neither sure what to believe. I arrived at their home under the guise of a regular session, but the shift in their dynamic was palpable. Evelyn's voice wavered as she confessed a vivid, unsettling memory. I dreamed you asked me to choose between you and someone else. Her fingers trembled around her coffee cup. Jordan's silence throbbed louder than her words. I leaned in, my tone soft. Dreams can reveal truths you're afraid to admit. I encouraged her to describe every detail, the way her breath caught, the weight of Jordan's gaze. I saw in her expression the pull between fear and fascination, a doorway I intended to swing wide open. When it was Jordan's turn, he admitted guilt laced with confusion. I've been distant, he said, voice low. There's a woman at work, but I don't know why I told you that or why I feel relieved. His confession hung in the air like a flint, sparking something raw between them. I guided them through a reflective exercise, mapping their emotional landscapes. On a whiteboard, I drew two overlapping circles, trust and doubt. With colored markers, they placed pins where they felt strongest and weakest. Each mark was a confession, each hesitation a breathless pause. As they worked, I saw their defenses erode. Evelyn's pin trembled near doubt. Jordan stuck firmly in trust. I challenged them. Move one pin, just one, to bridge the gap. Their eyes met, and for a moment, unity flickered. But I wasn't done. I suggested a pause, excused myself to fetch water, and sent Mara a text. Stage 2 tonight. Prepare the gallery. When I returned, I announced a surprise. I'd arranged a private viewing of my art project. An immersive VR installation I framed as a therapeutic tool to visualize emotional landscapes. They hesitated at first. Exposing their rawest emotions for strangers' eyes felt risky. Yet, blinded by trust in me, they donned the headsets. The world around them dissolved into pale halls lined with floating portraits. Snapshots of other couples at their most vulnerable, illuminated in ghostly half-light. As Evelyn and Jordan stepped forward, I watched from the control panel. I toggled their journey, slipping their own recordings into the mix. Suddenly, portraits of their whispered confessions appeared. Evelyn's tears after an argument, Jordan's trembling apology. They gasped as their private moments were laid bare. I muted their headsets and called them back. The shock in their eyes was delicious, betrayal at the hands of their healer. I soothed them with practiced regret. I thought seeing yourselves would help you reconnect. But doubt had already taken root. They left in a stunned silence, clutching each other as if afraid I might vanish next. As their taxi sped away, I noticed the spark of uncertainty in their posture. Perfect. Obsession thrives on instability. Back in my loft, I archived the VR footage. The Sinclair's broken reveries would earn a place in fragments of trust. Their unraveling was advancing beautifully. Each twist of their psyche another gem in my collection. And I was already craving the next layer of chaos. Chapter 5, The Unraveling Thread. The day after the VR reveal, the Sinclairs arrived in my office with defensiveness glinting in their eyes. Evelyn's cheeks were flushed, Jordan's jaw was set. Fear of exposure had transformed into anger, and anger is a powerful crack in the dam. Why did you do that? Evelyn's voice trembled with betrayal. You said it would help us. I settled into my chair with calm authority. Because sometimes truth needs shock therapy. I tapped my pen against my notebook. Emotional breakthroughs rarely happen gently. Jordan shot to his feet. You crossed a line, Elise. He glared at me, but I held his gaze evenly. Lines are subjective, I replied softly. Tell me, what are you feeling right now? Evelyn's eyes flickered between me and Jordan. Her hurt was raw, but beneath it lay curiosity, an undeniable pull back into my web. I feel vulnerable. Angry, but I also feel something else. She paused, voice low. I feel alive. Jordan's shoulders sagged. He looked at Evelyn, then back to me. We're not sure where we stand. I leaned forward, voice soothing. That's exactly where growth happens, on the edge of the unknown. I offered them tissues. Grief and desire are two sides of the same coin. Let's talk about what's under the anger. As they sank back into the sofa, I guided them through a breathing exercise. Inhaling past pain, exhaling into possibility. Evelyn's fingers curled around Jordan's. He drew a shaky breath. Underneath their dispute, a fragile hope shimmered. Perfect. Later, I assigned a homework exercise. Each would write a confession they'd never said aloud and leave it anonymously in my wooden truth box. They exchanged wary looks but complied, sliding notes into the slot before they left. I watched the box from my office door, already wondering how the confessions would differ and collide. That night, I retrieved their notes. Evelyn's words were jagged with jealousy. Jordan's saturated with yearning. I photographed each on my phone. Another layer for fragments of trust. The emotional tension in their writing was intoxicating. Raw edges of obsession, desperation, and hidden desire. I slipped the notes into envelopes labeled E and J, planning to confront them next session with each other's secret truths. The idea of them facing one another's darkest thoughts while I observed sent a familiar thrill coursing through me. As I cataloged the envelopes, a knock at my door startled me. Mara stood there, concern shadowing her features. "You've taken them far," she said quietly. "Are you sure you want to push this?" I met her gaze, unsettlingly steady. "Art demands sacrifice," I said. "And they volunteered every ounce of themselves. Obsession grows in discomfort. It's time to see how deep theirs runs." Mara hesitated, then nodded. "I'll set up the reading corner." She retreated, leaving me alone with the envelopes and the echo of their trust. I placed the envelopes on the table like tarot cards, each holding a piece of the Sinclair's souls. Obsession was not just theirs. It was mine too. And I would spin their unraveling into the masterpiece I craved. Chapter 6. Revelations in Silence. They arrived for our session with heavy eyes and cautious hearts. The envelopes sat between them on the low coffee table. Two unmarked packets cradling confessions they never meant to share. I motioned them to sit closer, the tension in the room coiling like a spring. "Today," I began, voice soft, "we explore truth in its purest form." I lifted Evelyn's envelope. "E's words first." I handed it to Jordan and watched his fingers tremble as he slit the flap. He unfolded the note, brow furrowing. Evelyn held her breath. Jordan read in silence, each line of flint striking his defenses. His eyes darted to Evelyn's, hurt, betrayal, confusion mirrored in his gaze. Then he read aloud. "I ache when she laughs without me. I imagine her in another's arms." Evelyn's lips quivered. She reached for Jordan's hand, but he recoiled as if burned. The silence that followed was electric. Next, I passed Jordan's envelope to Evelyn. She unfolded the confession, voice barely a whisper. "I crave her touch when she looks away. I lie awake, constructing dreams of her chest heaving beneath mine." Jordan's jaw clenched. Evelyn's cheeks flushed bright. They both sat frozen, tangled in the raw honesty of each other's desire and jealousy. I leaned forward. "What do you feel now?" I asked. Jordan's voice cracked. I didn't know." He met Evelyn's eyes again, vulnerable. "I thought I was alone in this." Evelyn's breath hitched. "Me too," she admitted. "I thought it was just my anger." Her tears fell, soft and sudden. I guided them to place a hand on their partner's knee, to speak the truth they'd just witnessed. Jordan trembled as he whispered, "I'm sorry I made you feel invisible." Evelyn gripped his knee and said, "I'm sorry for doubting your love." Their confessions mingled, raw and unfiltered. As they spoke, I observed the transformation. Betrayal giving way to compassion, jealousy to understanding. The silence between them softened, the sharp edges dulled by honesty. When they finished, I offered a new exercise. Stand and face each other. Without speaking, mirror your partner's expression until you feel their emotion in your own body. They obeyed, hesitantly rising. Evelyn mirrored Jordan's tense shoulders and furrowed brow. Jordan echoed Evelyn's quivering lips and downcast eyes. Step by careful step, they matched each nuance. In that wordless exchange, they reconnected in a way no words could achieve. I stepped back, letting them hold that gaze. The cameras hidden in the corners captured every silent revelation. Another chapter for Fragments of Trust. But for the Sinclairs, this was more than art. It was a rediscovery of each other through the mirror of their own secrets. When the exercise ended, they collapsed into the sofa, their foreheads touching. No words left to say, but everything understood. I closed my notebook. "You've done powerful work today." My voice carried genuine warmth. "We'll pause here and let these revelations settle." I stood, gesturing toward the door. "Take a moment together before you leave." They left hand in hand, humility softening their steps. Watching them go, I felt a flicker of something I hadn't anticipated. Respect for the delicate alchemy of confession and forgiveness. Yet beneath that, my own obsession pulsed stronger than ever. Back in my loft, I relived their silent exchange, each mirrored expression a stolen treasure. Their vulnerability was the lifeblood of my art, and I was its relentless collector. Another perfect moment preserved. Another fracture in their souls meticulously documented. And I was already plotting the next revelation. Chapter 7. Echoes in the Dark. The weekend arrived with a charged stillness. I watched Evelyn and Jordan from the hidden camera in their bedroom as dusk settled like a velvet curtain. Their world, once bright with fragile hope, now trembled with questions I had seeded. I craved to see how they would navigate the maze I had built. Monday morning, they sat across from me in my office, expressions guarded. Evelyn spoke first, voice low. "We talked," she admitted. "Last night, everything felt different." Jordan's eyes were shadowed with sleeplessness. "We realized we're not sure who we are anymore," he added. "Or who we're supposed to be." I nodded, tapping my pen thoughtfully. "Identity can shift under stress," I said. "It's natural to feel unmoored when we confront parts of ourselves we've hidden. Sometimes even from the ones we love." I slid a small leather-bound journal across the table. "I want you each to keep a secret diary for 7 days. No topics off limits. Write without judgment, without self-editing. At the end, you'll share selected entries with each other. Only the ones you choose. This exercise will help you reclaim your voices." They exchanged glances, hesitation, relief, curiosity mingling. Evelyn closed her fingers around the journal. "Okay," she whispered. Jordan nodded stiffly. "We'll do it." That night, I monitored their entries through the encrypted app on my phone. Evelyn's pages spilled with longing for intimacy she feared she could no longer trust. Jordan's were laced with anxiety about failing as a partner. Their words were raw and urgent, each sentence an unfiltered echo of their inner turmoil. On day 4, Evelyn's entry startled me. She confessed to fantasizing about a stranger's arms around her, craving the unknown more than reconciliation. Jordan's response, written hours later, revealed his envy of single friends' freedom and his fear that love itself had become a prison. I felt a surge of anticipation. They were unraveling exactly as I planned, but I wasn't satisfied with mere words. I needed action. At the next session, I introduced a challenge. They would each act on one diary entry. Evelyn would reach out to a friend she'd neglected. Jordan would pursue an independent interest he'd abandoned. "These are safe risks," I assured them. "They'll remind you who you are outside the relationship." Evelyn hesitated, then admitted she'd called her childhood friend, inviting her to dinner. Jordan admitted he'd signed up for a solo rock climbing class. I praised them, but beneath my calm words, I logged their confessions for my gallery's upcoming centerpiece. The voices they lost. That evening, I watched as Evelyn met her friend at a cozy bistro. Her laughter flowed freely, eyes bright with rediscovered joy. Jordan, meanwhile, climbed the indoor wall with tense focus. Each secured a scent of reclaiming of self. But the real moment came when they returned home. Evelyn's face was flushed with empowerment. Jordan's was lit by pride. They stood in their living room, paused, then looked at each other with new awareness. Evelyn whispered, "I miss this freedom." Jordan replied, "And I miss seeing you happy." Their hands found each other's in the dim light. For the first time, they touched not out of obligation but choice. I watched their silhouettes merge, a fleeting harmony amidst the chaos I'd orchestrated. I closed their diaries and stored the entries in my private vault. This chapter of their unraveling had given me something richer than confession, evidence of transformation. Obsession had led them here, but authenticity would decide where they went next. As I prepared the control room for their next revelation, I felt the pull of my own dual lives, therapist and artist. Evelyn and Jordan had found echoes of themselves in the dark. Now it was time to bring their shadows into the light. Chapter 8. Echoes of Obsession. The gallery opening loomed only days away, and with it, the Sinclair's final performance. I had curated fragments of trust into a labyrinthine space, mirrored corridors, interactive installations, and private booths looping their most intimate moments. Tonight, I rehearsed the final sequence, the unveiling, a culmination of their unraveling. In my loft, I paced under the glow of exposed bulbs. Mara adjusted the surround sound, weaving a soundtrack of whispered confessions and heartbeats. The VR station stood silent, waiting. My pulse thrummed in time with the melody of their fears. I dialed Evelyn first. "I have an invitation," I said, voice velvet. a private preview before the public opening. She hesitated, recalling how blindsided she'd felt in the VR session. Yet something in my tone, equal parts regret and promise, pulled her in. She agreed. Jordan answered next, wary but entranced by the prospect of closure. "Just one more chance to make sense of everything," he told me. When they arrived together, their faces were masks of anticipation and dread. I led them through the gallery's threshold, their heads darting at each mirrored reflection. "This is your journey," I whispered, guiding them into the winding hall. Each tableau replayed their moments of trust and betrayal. The blindfold exercise, the note revelations, the dinner's gaslit tension. They moved in tandem, unsettled laughter and uneasy glances rippling between them. At the center of the labyrinth awaited the unveiling. A circular room with velvet ropes, a lone pedestal under a spotlight. On it lay a sealed envelope marked simply, "Together." I gestured them forward. "Open it," I encouraged, voice hushed. Their hands met as they lifted the flap. Inside, they found a Polaroid of a final confession, one written by Evelyn that neither had read. It described a fantasy where she abandoned Jordan at his lowest, seizing her freedom in his moment of need. Beside it lay Jordan's response fantasy, a silent escape into another's arms, leaving Evelyn behind in perpetual doubt. They stared at the photos, shock rippling through them. The air seemed to thicken as their imagined betrayals crystallized into reality, displayed for their eyes alone. "Why?" Evelyn's whisper cracked like glass. I stepped forward. "To show you the power of honesty and the cost of obsession." My gaze held theirs. "You two created this gallery. Your minds built each portrait." Jordan's shoulders slumped. You manipulated us." "I guided you," I corrected gently. "But you built it with your own truths." I let that settle, then added, "Art demands authenticity, even at its darkest." Evelyn dropped the photo, tears glinting in the spotlight. Jordan's jaw tightened. They turned to face me, no longer pupils, but equals confronting their creator. "You used us," Jordan said, voice low and steady. I nodded. "And you used me. I needed your truth, and you needed release." I paused. "Now it's time to decide. Is this the end of your story, or a beginning?" They exchanged a glance heavy with choice. Evelyn reached for Jordan's hand. He didn't pull away this time. In that moment, the gallery's reflections no longer trapped them. They held a mirror to their decision. As they walked out side by side, I felt a bittersweet release. Their obsession had mirrored mine, a dance of power and vulnerability. Fragments of trust would open tomorrow, but their story, our story, remained unwritten. And I, Madame Proxy, would be there to watch how the world responded to the art we created together. Chapter 9. Shadows of Reflection. The morning after the private preview, the gallery lobby buzzed with anticipation. I arrived before dawn, alone amidst empty pedestals and silent mirrors. The day's light spilled across polished floors, hinting at the revelations to come. Every reflective surface reminded me that art and obsession were two sides of the same mirror. In the control room, Mara hovered over the consoles. "They're here," she whispered, eyes bright. Through the surveillance monitors, I watched as early visitors filed in. Critics, collectors, curious strangers drawn by whispers of scandal and brilliance. I slipped into the crowd, adopting the guise of a fellow spectator. From this distance, I observed their reactions. Viewers recoiling at confessions of betrayal, leaning in as hidden desires flickered across the walls. Each gasp, each knowing smile, fed the essence of fragments of trust. My creation had a life beyond its subjects. Yet I kept searching for Evelyn and Jordan among the masses. They arrived together, arms linked, faces resolute. Their presence anchored the exhibition, transforming it from voyeuristic spectacle into living drama. They moved through the corridors with purpose, occasionally pausing at their own portraits. I watched Evelyn's fingers trace the edge of a photograph. Jordan's eyes softened as he studied a looping clip of their tear-stained embrace. At the final chamber, the unveiling, they paused once more. Beneath the spotlight, the pedestal stood empty now, its envelope long removed. Evelyn glanced at Jordan, then toward the door where I observed. Her gaze carried no accusation, only understanding. Jordan met my eye and offered a slight nod, a silent acknowledgement that we were bound by truth, pain, and the fragile beauty that emerges from both. As the crowd poured into the room behind them, I stepped out of the shadows. Mara joined me, her expression a blend of triumph and awe. We did it, she murmured. I allowed myself a soft smile. This is only the beginning. Obsession might have driven me, but it was consequence that would define me now. The world's reflection lay before me, mirrored, fractured, and compelling. I watched Evelyn and Jordan step forward to stand among the viewers, ready to confront their own story in public. Their hands remained clasped, a testament to survival through chaos. For the first time, they weren't my subjects, they were partners in revelation. And as the doors opened wider, letting more light into the labyrinth, I realized that every mirror I'd placed in that gallery had shown more than just shadows. They'd shown us what it means to truly see and be seen. Night and obsession would always linger, but so would the possibility of redemption reflected in clear, honest eyes. Chapter 10, Redemption in the Frame. The gallery lights dimmed as evening fell, and with them, my singular world narrowed to one final moment. The crowd had thinned, leaving only a few lingering admirers and the distant hum of city life beyond the gallery walls. I walked the mirrored corridors alone, footsteps soft against the polished floor, each reflection a ghost of the chaos I had orchestrated. In the heart of the labyrinth, the unveiling awaited its last audience. The pedestal stood empty, the spotlight cold. I reached out, letting my fingers brush its surface. This space had once held secrets. Now it held potential. Mara appeared at my side, her silhouette framed by the entrance. "They're here," she whispered. Evelyn and Jordan stepped into the room, their hands still entwined. They neither looked for explanations nor apologies, only a shared resolve. I closed the distance between us. "You've seen your truths laid bare," I began, voice steady. "You've watched your pain, your desire, your darkest fantasies displayed for the world." My gaze moved between them, noticing how the light softened their features. "What now?" Evelyn met my eyes first. "We live," she said firmly. "We live because we faced ourselves." Her hand tightened on Jordan's. He nodded, his expression unwavering. "We choose each other, flaws, obsessions, and all." A quiet pride warmed my chest. "You've given me the greatest art," I said softly. "But you've taught me something more important. That authenticity demands compassion." I stepped back and gestured to the empty pedestal. "This is your final frame. Place something here to mark the end of this chapter." Jordan reached into his pocket and pulled out his confession note, the one he'd written first, soaked in guilt and longing. Evelyn unfolded it. Then they rose together to lay it gently on the pedestal. Evelyn added her note beside it, and for a moment, silence held them all. I lowered the velvet rope myself, inviting them and any who remained to step forward. As they did, I felt the quiet shift in the room. No longer a gallery of voyeurism, it had become a space of shared vulnerability. Viewers knelt to read the notes, offering murmurs of empathy instead of shock. Later, when the doors finally closed, I guided Evelyn and Jordan to the rooftop terrace. The city lights stretched out like constellations beneath us. We stood in a trio of silhouettes against the night sky. Creator, subjects, survivors. "You're free of my mirrors now," I told them. "But carry your truths with pride." Evelyn leaned into Jordan, and he kissed her forehead. Mara watched from the stairwell, a gentle smile on her face. Alone at the railing, I reflected on obsession's duality. It can destroy, but it can also illuminate. Fragments of trust had been born of manipulation, yet it ended in reconciliation. As the wind lifted a loose strand of my hair, I whispered into the night, "Madam Proxy bids farewell to the shadows. From now on, I'll chase truth, not ruin." The city's pulse thrummed below, alive with unseen stories. I turned away from the view, stepping back inside the gallery's quiet expanse. My next masterpiece awaited, but this time, rendered in light.